to John chapter 10. The past few Sundays, I have been speaking, I guess I could say, Mason, somewhat concerning TULIP. I began with irresistible life. That is the irresistible grace you often hear of in that same TULIP. Then we looked at the elect disclosed. That's the unconditional election. The election, I started to say when, but that's not necessarily right. The election was secret. It was between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
But the elect in time are disclosed.
Yes, sir.
And I'm persuaded each and every one of them is disclosed.
Yes, sir.
To somebody somewhere.
Yes.
To somebody somewhere.
Yes.
It is not just whoever's elect is just going to wake up in heaven one day.
No.
It just doesn't work that way. But I'm not going back into that. Last week it was on our depravity exposed. By nature we are depraved.
Yes, sir.
And that one song I picked, as we sang it, I realized that I think it was the second or third verse. Not exactly right. Yes, God can change the leper spots and God can melt the heart of stone, but that's not what he does.
Yeah.
He doesn't change the leper spots. He gives the leopard a new nature.
That's
what he does.
That's right.
He doesn't change the old heart. He doesn't melt the old heart. He gives a new heart.
Yes, sir.
So it's not quite technically right there on that song. But be that as it may, let me give you this. I kind of ended with this last week. God Almighty will give to the elect at his appointed time, at the time of love, he will give to each and every one of them individually spiritual life. He will enable them to hear the message of life. So that they might receive the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But if that's all God ever did, Mason, if God chose me before the world began, and God through his Son breathed spiritual life into me as a dead alien sinner, and I believe the preaching of the gospel, if that's all God ever did for me, I still have to die and go to hell. Because all of that, none of that, satisfies God's holiness, and God's righteousness, and God's wrath concerning my sin.
That's right.
So I want to read one verse this morning, kind of as a starting spot. John chapter 10 and verse 11. Now the context is actually about three chapters, or at least two and a half chapters. The whole overall context. And just so that some of the statements you'll realize that I begin to make, it begins near the temple. These people try to kill Christ, but he passes through their midst, and as he passes through their midst, he sees someone, a blind man.
Yeah.
He heals the blind man, and then everything breaks loose.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know? And then he begins to teach to everybody that's there, John chapter 10. Okay? And that's the whole context is about two and a half, maybe three chapters. But John chapter 10, verse 11, our Lord said these words, "I am the good shepherd." That settles it. He is.
Amen.
It's not about debate. It's not about I'm not trying to prove to men and women Christ is the good shepherd. We are proclaiming that Christ is the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And then he made this statement, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep.
Amen.
Isn't that what he said? He said
Amen.
Those words. Anyone who denies he said those words is a rebel against God's word.
Amen.
That's plain and simple. Now, he said those words. That's exactly what he said. But let's note here the characters in this context. First of all, we have Christ and his disciples. If you'll turn back sometime, you can read it. Chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. And as he passed through these people's midst, they took up stones to kill him.
Yep.
He passed through their midst. They couldn't do it.
Yep.
Why? Because it wasn't his time to die.
Exactly.
And as he passed by, chapter 9 and verse 1, he sees this blind man. A man that had been blind from his birth. And the disciples ask him, why was this man born blind? Who sinned? Was it his parents or was it him?
Yeah.
And Jesus said, neither it has nothing to do with their sin or his sin, but that the works of God might be manifest in this man.
Yeah.
Now right there's a message, because you think, this man, I don't know how old he was, but I take it he was at least in his late teens, if not early 20s, or maybe even more. We don't know for sure. But he wasn't a little boy.
He was of age.
He was of age. He wasn't a little boy. Think of it. God Almighty put that man in that state for his own purpose and glory.
Amen.
Now that, isn't that something?
Yes, sir.
That little baby that was born blind, God did that.
Exactly.
There's a message you can preach on sometime, Joe. But we see, here's one of the, a couple of the characters, Christ and his disciples. Then if you look at chapter 9, verse 8 and 9, you find the blind beggar and his neighbors. Those who knew him.
Yeah.
Right? The blind beggar. Then in chapter 9, verses 13, 14, 15, and 16, you find the Pharisees. They're in the mix here.
Yeah.
The neighbors take the blind beggar who had been healed and was no longer blind, and they take him to the Pharisees. And amidst the Pharisees, you find scoffers and what I will call quasi-defenders.
Yeah.
It's what you have.
Yeah.
So far, Christ and his disciples, two different kinds of people. Christ and his disciples. Followers of Christ, but totally different from Christ.
Yeah, well.
The blind man and his neighbors, right? The Pharisees, and there's two sides. They even argued amongst themselves. There was a division amongst them because of this. But also, you have something else. You have Jews then that were not the blind beggar's neighbors because they wondered, was he really blind?
Yeah.
His neighbors knew he was,
yeah.
But some of the other Jews around didn't know he was. So there was Jews who were not the blind beggar's neighbors. And then there was the blind beggar's parents.
Yep.
And oh, what a sad set of parents he had. He was born blind. The Son of God, the Messiah, gives him sight.
Yep.
And his parents say, well, he's of age, ask him. Why? Because they valued their position in the community, and especially in the synagogue,
yes,
more than honoring God for what Jesus Christ had just done.
That's exactly right. That's right.
A diverse group. Yes?
Oh, yeah.
All of these characters in this, a diverse group, all kinds of folk, right?
Yes, sir.
From the highest echelons of glory,
yeah,
all the way down through the highest echelons of religion,
yeah,
all the way to the regular common folk, all the way down to one blind beggar.
Yes, sir.
And he wasn't just blind, he was a beggar.
Yes, sir.
Evidently, his parents weren't even helping him, Mason,
yeah,
because he was a beggar, a blind beggar. All of this great, great diverse group. But also, there's one other group here. And that's mainly mentioned in chapter 10. It's a group called the sheep.
Yeah. Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And I'm not going to read all that. I don't have time to read. You read all that. After I preach it, I pray to God that this message benefits us and feeds us. And not just you, but us. Me too.
Yeah.
But go back sometime after this message. Even if it does benefit you today, don't just drop it and let it go. Oh, that was a great sermon. I really enjoyed that. Go back and look at these things. Because they will, through the Spirit's enablement, bless your soul.
Yes, sir.
Through the Spirit's enablement. Think about it. All of these people had some place here, didn't they?
Yeah.
Didn't they? All of them had some place here. But there it was, totally different places.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Totally different places. And what did Christ declare? His main message. Now, he says many things. The last part, he's actually speaking in chapter 8. They get mad and want to kill him. As he's passing through their midst, he sees the blind beggar, heals him, and more things stir up, right? But then finally in chapter 10, we actually have a record of an account of an actual message that the Lord Jesus Christ preached. And he preached it maybe not to all of them, but to many of this same widely diverse group. Was it not? And one thing about this subject, Christ did not see it as only for some secret society.
That's right.
Or secret people among the people of God.
That's it.
He taught this truth, the truth that he taught in John 10. He taught it to the indiscriminate masses.
Yes, sir.
And he wasn't afraid to say exactly what he said.
Right. Yeah.
What did Christ declare concerning his sheep? What did he declare concerning his death? He mentions that. I am the good shepherd. I laid down my life. Now, he's not talking about dying as a martyr.
Yeah.
He's talking about dying as a substitute. That's what he's talking about.
Yes, sir.
He's not talking about dying for a cause. He's talking about the cause would die.
Yeah, exactly.
He is the cause.
Yes, sir.
And he, the cause, would give up his life. He said, I lay it down of myself. I take it up. Amen. No man taketh it from me. And yet Peter stood up and told them people on the day of Pentecost, you killed the Lord of glory.
That's exactly right.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Now all of that's true.
Amen.
At the same time.
Amen.
Sometimes I say, explain it. Don't have to. The book says it. It's true.
Amen. That's it.
What did Christ declare concerning his sheep, his death, and these others?
Yeah.
And these others. Most people say, well, you know, we know you people believe that weird stuff, but just keep it to yourself. No, I will not.
Exactly.
I will not.
That's right.
My Lord did not, and he does not excuse me to be any different in it.
Exactly.
Number one, he says two times, chapter 10, verse 11, chapter 10, verse 15, I will die for the sheep.
Amen.
Isn't that what he says?
Yes, sir.
I laid down my life for the sheep.
Amen.
Number two, then not only to say I'll die for the sheep, but secondly, he describes his sheep.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't he?
Yes, sir.
He describes the sheep. I remember, can't think of his name now. It used to be Fairmont. Help me.
Scott.
Scott Richardson. Talked about what about all the promises of God, but he said if you don't fit the recipient, the promise is not to you. Job mentioned, he takes the beggar off the dung heap and sits him with princes and kings. Everybody wants to sit with the princes and the kings,
yeah,
but they don't want to admit or acknowledge where they are, a beggar on a crap heap.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
That's it.
Christ describes his sheep. Look at it. First of all, verse 3. Christ's work upon them. He describes them, but he describes them first of all by his work upon them. They will hear his voice. He will personally call them by name.
Amen.
And he will lead them out.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time there, but what one thing he was leading them out of what? The error of the day.
Yeah.
That's what he was leading, not leading them out of the fold.
Yeah.
No, but leading them out of the error of the day.
Yeah.
And those who don't and are not being called, they're not hearing his voice. They're not being personally called, and they're not being led out of false religion.
Yeah.
Those who are not, they're not sheep. You have no reason to think they're a sheep.
Exactly.
So he described his work upon them. That's one way he described them. The second way was their subsequent, and you listen, you mark that word, their subsequent response.
Yeah.
Because their response is a result of his work upon them.
Exactly.
Not vice versa.
Exactly. That's it. You're right.
Their subsequent response is, according to verse 4, they follow Christ and they know Christ.
Amen.
That is, once they are hear his voice, once they're personally called, once he leads them out, who do they follow? Him.
Amen.
They follow him and they know him. Verse 2. Verse 5 and verse 8, twice he says this, they reject everything else.
Yeah.
Now, if you got a person that professes to be a sheep and yet they're receiving both sides of the coin, they're trying to play both sides of the fence. They are deceived.
Amen.
They are deceived. Now, one thing's true. They may be a sheep, but they have no reason to think they're a sheep.
Exactly.
Until they hear his voice, he calls them by name, and then he begins leading them out.
Amen.
Then I can say, and they can say, and everybody else can say, I believe that's one of the sheep. And the reason I say that is because in verse 16, Christ said no sheep will be left out.
Amen.
There are some who are sheep, but they're not yet been called out. They have not yet been brought.
Yeah.
Right? And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, which lets me know they're already sheep, but yet they've not been brought yet.
Amen.
Right? That's how Christ describes. So secondly, he described his sheep. But thirdly, he specifically said, some of you are not of my sheep.
Amen.
Didn't he say that? Now,
amen.
This one, now look, notice, listen, I'm not going to run, we'll look at it in a moment, I'm not going to run to 10, verses 26 and 27 yet. Go back to 9.
Yeah.
Go back to chapter 9. Now, all of this, let me press, start off with this before I say anything else. Jesus Christ said, I'm going to die for the sheep. He described the sheep.
Yeah.
And then he told some people, you're not my sheep.
Amen.
There is no court of law that would rightly convict Jesus Christ for saying, I came into the world to save everybody. I'm going to die for everybody. Because what did he say here?
Yeah.
I'm going to die for the sheep. I've described who my sheep are. And you folks, some of you folks, you're not my sheep.
Amen. That's it.
No honest court of law, Mason, could say anything less than Jesus Christ died for who?
The sheep.
And who only?
The sheep.
The sheep.
Amen.
That would stand up in any reasonable court of law, would it not?
Oh, yeah.
Only an ignorant fool would think anything else.
Yeah, there you go.
You say, that's hard language. No, that is fact.
Yeah,
that is fact. Now look at it, chapter 9. This is the blind man had just been given a glorious revelation. Oh, he'd been healed from his blindness, but that wasn't the end of it.
Yeah.
You see, being healed from your blindness, that's one thing. But there's another thing, but we'll look at that in a moment. Now look, in verse 30, 37, 38, you see that. But then look at what Christ said, verse 39. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see. Not everybody, but everybody who professes to be a Christian, they love that part.
Yeah.
Right? But what else did he say?
Exactly. Yeah.
And that they which see might be made blind.
Amen.
Now, I can see the workings of the free willers. Now, well, but once they're made blind, then Jesus can give them sight. Now, you don't get it. Because look at what he says next. And some of the Pharisees, which were with him, heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Now, there's only two things. They're trying to play the fence here. Well, if we're blind, then you're saying there's hope for us.
Yeah.
Right? Because he said, I come to give those who don't see, I'm come so that they can see.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And see how ambiguous they were?
Oh, yeah.
They're very ambiguous.
Yeah.
Are we blind also? And look, Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see. Because
yeah.
He knew where they really stood.
Oh, yeah.
They thought they had it.
Oh, yeah.
And they thought they had it by their own power, by their own will,
yeah.
By their own decision,
oh, yeah.
By their own birthright,
exactly.
Whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. But that is what I'm going to term a little cryptic, is it not? It's a little cryptic. Your sin remains. He didn't say you're not going to be forgiven. You can't be forgiven, did he?
No.
But then he starts chapter 10. And starts his message about the sheep. And I'm going to lay down my life for the sheep. And every one of the sheep, not one left out, will be saved. Because I died for them. And I'm going to bring them in. And then he turned and looked at some of the Jews. And I figure those Pharisees were still there. Nothing else says they weren't. And he said, you're not my sheep.
Amen.
Look at it. Chapter 10, verse 26. But ye believe not. Why don't you believe? Because you just ain't exercised your free will. Is that what it says? No. But ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. All of this happened. All of this took place. All of this transpired because Jesus Christ had just saved one of his sheep. He had just called that one individual,
yes,
into eternal life by himself, and it stirred up a fuss. And it always does.
Amen.
Because if God saves his people, the sheep, that way, then all these other people that say they're saved are what? They're not saved.
Exactly.
That's why people don't want to hear us talk about election, predestination, irresistible grace, limited atonement. This is why... total depravity. Why? Because they know we don't believe this stuff.
Yeah.
And you know what the problem is? They don't believe God. They are rebels against God. And they are enemies of God. And we should avoid them like a plague.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Like a plague. You cannot play both sides of the fence.
Exactly.
There is no side, both sides of the fence. The cryptic language is over now. But ye believe not because you're not of my sheep. Therefore, what is Christ saying? I am not going to die for you.
Amen.
Because he said, I lay down my life for who? The sheep.
Amen.
Now, as I have said before, I cannot go to a person individually and absolutely say that to a person. Because I'm not the good shepherd. And I don't know all the sheep. But he is, and he does.
That's right.
He knows exactly who they were. One place, John writes that he knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him.
Amen.
Didn't he?
Amen.
Let me tell you, it's nothing but rebellion against the Word of God to think that Jesus Christ would lay down his life for everybody, but then only some be saved.
Right.
It's rebellion against God.
Yes, sir.
Would any honest court ascribe his death to anybody but the sheep if they honestly read his words here?
Exactly.
No. That would stand up, Mason, in any court of law. What did his death?
Yeah.
Here's the question. What did his death? He said, I laid down my life for the sheep. Not just because of them.
Exactly. Yep.
But I laid down my life for, in the place of, on the behalf of.
Yes, sir.
I laid down my life for the sheep. What did his death do for the sheep? False Christianity says basically nothing, because he did the same thing for all the human race.
That's what it
says. Now, don't they? Yeah. They'll even say it.
Oh, yeah.
In a little more cryptic language, but they will say, God's done all he can do. And they're even talking about Christ's death.
Yeah.
His laying down of his life.
Right.
Now it's up to you. Is that the way Jesus Christ presented himself?
No, sir.
And his death and the results of his death?
Sir.
No. In no uncertain terms. The only people who would read these words and think anything else are those who hate the truth of God.
Amen.
So it's right there.
You're right.
And let me tell you, at one time, that's where I was.
Yeah, you're right.
But he said, what? If you're a sheep, you'll hear my voice. I'll call you by name, and I will lead you out.
Amen.
You know what he says?
Sir.
So what does his death do for the sheep? Four things here. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. First thing, this is not in some necessary order necessarily. The first thing it did, Christ judicially. And let me explain what I mean by that word. I mean, this is a legal thing. It's a legal thing.
Yes, sir.
Not just, I'm not talking about a Mosaic law thing. I'm talking about a legal thing. In God's universal court of law, Mason,
justice.
It's a judicial thing. It's justice. Christ judicially made the two folds one fold.
Amen.
Now remember he said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold.
That's right.
What? The fold of the Jews that he was talking to. All this diverse kind of Jews. And that's who they all were. At this time, he's talking to the Jews, Mason. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and there shall be, what? One fold and one shepherd.
Amen.
Now we read, Paul defines this for us in Ephesians chapter 2. And let's read it. Let's begin in verse 13 for the sake of time. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, talking to the other sheep, which were not of that fold,
that's
the Jewish
exactly
fold.
Right. Yeah.
That's who Paul's talking about.
Yes,
but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh how?
Yeah.
This is judicial.
Yeah.
This has nothing to do with anything experiential. This is all judicial.
Yes, sir.
Nigh, or made nigh how? By the blood of Christ.
Amen.
You got a lot of people talking about, they think they're preaching the blood of Christ just because they acknowledge blood was actually shed, rather than going off on this totally liberal thing of, you know, blood really doesn't matter. Let me tell you, most of them do nothing but give insult and despot against the Spirit of God and against the blood of Jesus Christ. Because they're not preaching that the blood made a people nigh.
Exactly.
They're preaching that you can be nigh if you do something. That's not what Paul says, is it?
Exactly.
We are made nigh how? By the blood of Christ. Listen, for he is our peace. The person.
Amen.
Who hath made both one. What? Jew and Gentile. in Christ. That's what he's talking about. Here is the one fold and the other sheep, which actually you could say there were two folds at one time.
Yeah.
Two kinds of sheep, were there not? Jewish sheep and Gentile sheep. But they were still sheep.
Yes,
just
sir.
Like we know there are natural branches, olive branches, and there are wild olive branches.
Yes, sir.
Right? For he is our peace who hath made both one. Why don't the whole church, why don't we all get along though? Because we're fallen. We're still in an imperfect state. But he has judicially guaranteed and secured this. He's made it happen.
Yes, sir.
For he is our peace who hath made both one. Not will if we all get along. That ain't the point. This ain't experiential. This is judicial.
Yes, sir.
And made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. Whether we feel the enmity or not, that's not the point. He's abolished the enmity.
Amen.
It's judicial. You see it? Even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, that is of the two, one new man.
Amen.
There's the one fold, the one shepherd, Mason. And it's not a Jewish fold now. And it's not a Gentile fold.
Right.
It's a new fold.
Yeah.
To make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace.
Amen.
And that he might reconcile both, look at it, unto God.
Amen.
You see that? That he might reconcile both unto God. And how? In one body by the cross.
Amen.
By his death. You see it? Having slain. If you kill something, what is it? It may still be there, but it's just a corpse. Having slain the enmity thereby. Now he proceeds on and came and preached peace to you which are afar off and to them which were nigh.
Amen.
This is what Christ's death did for the sheep.
Amen.
Is it not?
Yeah.
Here's another thing. Now turn to Isaiah chapter 53. You know this one. And you know where I'm going. But the thing about preaching the gospel, there is but one, so there's nothing new.
Exactly.
And many of you have heard it for several years now, so it's not really. And I often think, well, if I could just spice it up, and then I come to myself. Or he brings me to myself, and I say, Walter, it don't need spice.
Exactly.
The sheep will love it because it's sheep food.
Amen.
Everybody else is a goat, and they're not going to like it.
Exactly.
No matter how you present it and spice it up.
Yeah.
And the danger is you can spice it up to where it begins to lose its own flavor.
Right.
And it has the flavor of something else, which I won't even say what that is.
Exactly.
Isaiah chapter 53. Look at what he says now for the sake of time. Think about this. Here's the second thing. Remember, first, Christ judicially made the two folds one fold.
Yes, sir.
Right? That's what the book says. Uh-huh. Secondly, Christ was made the penal substitute.
Yes.
For the sheep.
Amen.
The penal substitute. Most people talk about believing that Christ offered a penal sacrifice, but they don't really believe he was a penal substitute. They believe he is the penal substitute if you do something else.
Yeah.
And add to it. But look at what Isaiah prophesied of him hundreds of years before it ever even happened. Look at it, Isaiah 53. Let me just begin in verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet did we esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded. Wounded.
Amen.
That was a real wound.
Yes, sir.
Wasn't it? It was real wounds.
Yes, sir.
Both physical and spiritual. But he was wounded. For what? For our transgressions.
Yeah.
You see the penal substitute?
Yes, sir.
Being penalized. He was penalized rather than the sheep being penalized.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, it don't say sheep there. Well, it certainly does. That's why I chose this verse. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was physically bruised, but God Almighty battered him.
Yes, sir.
God Almighty battered him. He was our penal substitute.
Yes, sir.
He was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace.
Yes, sir.
That is, the chastisement that it would take to bring about peace.
Exactly.
What? Was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed.
Amen.
This is still judicial.
Yes, sir.
Because let me tell you, God's sheep are judicially, they are legally healed, whether they experientially are healed yet or not.
Amen.
Everything has been satisfied by Christ that the law and God's holiness itself demands. All we like sheep. Now granted, he doesn't say all of you who are sheep. He doesn't say that, I know that. But there's still, he uses the illustration of a what?
Yeah.
A sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. Here's the question. Have you gone astray?
Exactly.
Most people think they haven't. At least I'm not as bad as so-and-so. Many of you probably are not even as bad as me, but that don't help you none. I'm not the standard.
Exactly. That's it.
I'm filthy and rotten head to toe.
Yeah.
We seen that last week, and so are you, whether you like it or not. But the problem is, do you see it? Can you say, I, like a sheep, am gone astray?
Exactly.
And all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to what? His own way. Your way will send you to hell.
Right.
My way will send me to hell.
Yes, sir.
Apart from the penal substitute, Jesus Christ himself.
Amen.
Because God would have to send me to hell. If I'm in my way, Mason, he has to send me to hell. His justice demands it.
Yes, sir.
All we like sheep are gone astray. If gone astray, we've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him. It means to impinge. It was more than just a burden on him.
Yeah.
It affected him inwardly.
Oh, yeah.
That's what impinge means, don't it? You know? And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now here's the question. Do you see yourself as that kind of sheep?
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Do you see yourself as a filthy, rotten sheep?
Yeah.
If I were to go back to Isaiah chapter 1 and read it again, would you say, that's me?
Yeah.
Or would you be so repulsed by it, you say, no, not really. Oh, I need saving, but I'm not that bad.
Yeah.
No, I am that bad.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I'm Isaiah chapter 1 bad. And I know it.
Yeah.
I know it. Now look, so Christ was made the penal substitute for the sheep, right? But thirdly, the penal substitute, that is Christ, satisfied God's justice and justified judicially now, not experientially yet, but judicially justified the sheep when he died. Now look at it, verse 10 and 11 by Isaiah. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Now that doesn't mean, and I remember Don Fortner saying this years ago at Henry Mahan's conference at Henry Mahan, that doesn't mean God the Father sat up in heaven and laughed while his son died. No, this is talking about divine satisfaction. It pleased it. All justice was satisfied. God said, the soul that sinneth it shall die. He died under the weight and condemnation of our sins and transgressions and iniquities. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul, and just read it this way because it's true, sin.
Yeah.
Because the offering they've added, that, I know it's not in italics, but it ain't there.
Yeah.
He shall make his soul sin. He shall see seed.
Amen.
Isn't that glorious?
Amen.
He shall see. Why? Because there's a sheep.
Yes, sir.
He's doing this, Mason, for the sheep. Because when he finally came to this earth, Mac, he said, I'm going to do it for the sheep.
Amen.
Right? He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall what? Prosper in his hand.
Amen.
He shall see, that is the Father, the Lord rather. It's the Father. But he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be what?
Satisfied.
Amen. Oh, that Christ gave his life for me. Because if he did not, I must absolutely perish.
Amen.
But if Christ gave his life for me, I must absolutely be saved.
Amen.
God must honor his son.
Yes, sir.
God will honor his son. God delights in honoring his son. God is satisfied with the penal substitutionary sacrifice of his son.
Amen.
He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Why? And how? For he shall give them faith. See what it says, is it? Now he will give them faith.
Yes, sir.
They will be called. They will follow him. They will believe him. But what's the ground of justification?
Yeah.
What's the judicial ground of it? He shall justify how many? Many.
Many.
Amen. For he shall bear their iniquities.
Amen.
That's my hope.
Yes, sir.
That's my hope. That is the penal substitute. Christ himself satisfied God's justice, and he judicially justified me when he died on that tree. Even in some grace circles, you don't hear that a whole lot. But that's the truth. Starting to hear it a little bit more, and I'm glad for it.
Yes, sir.
Because as both Bruce and Mike pointed out in the last meeting we had, the gospel is about what has been done.
That's right.
It's not just about what... Now, yes, God is doing some things for the sheep, and that's glorious, as we will see. But none of that would have any meaning if he didn't die, if he didn't lay down his life for the sheep, because God would not have been satisfied.
Amen.
We could have lived a glorious life in this world, as glorious as it can be in this world, and still had to die and go to hell, Mason. Wouldn't we? Because eternal life comes not from God just giving it, but comes from a justice being satisfied by the Son. Oh, what a glory. But now, go back to John 10. Number 4, the penal substitute who was the good shepherd. Right? I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. The penal substitute, that is the good shepherd, ensures the ingathering of all his sheep.
Amen.
Verse 16, he took the responsibility.
Yes, sir.
Verse 16 of John 10, and other sheep I have, they are already mine.
That's it.
And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, which lets me know they hadn't even been called out yet, Joe.
That's right.
Because they weren't at that fold,
nope.
Were they? Them also I must bring, which lets me know two things. They haven't been brought yet.
Yep.
And not just that, they were right, they will be, but more than that, he is responsible to do the bringing.
Amen.
It ain't just, yes, all the Father give me shall come to me. That's true, but this is also true. Them also I must bring. The only reason I'm coming is because he's a-bringing me.
Amen. That's it.
Now, that's almost, you could almost say, there's the perseverance of the saints. And we could just end right there, but we won't. Lord willing, we'll look at that next time. The reason I have to be brought all the way in, if I'm a sheep, is because he died for me, and he said it lays on my shoulders to make sure it's all done.
Amen.
Them also I must bring.
Yeah.
I take the responsibility. I love that gospel.
Amen.
Don't you?
Yes, sir.
I must have that gospel or I'll perish.
Exactly.
Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. That gives me hope for myself and others who I think sometimes are not sheep.
Yeah.
Right. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd, even if they don't think so.
Exactly right.
Even though we may argue and gripe and murmur and disagree amongst ourselves, if we're sheep, we're in one fold.
Amen.
Because he judicially made it that way. And he reconciled us to God. The penal substitute, the good shepherd, ensures the ingathering of all his sheep. The declaration of Scripture is this. Romans 5:6, Christ died for the ungodly. Are you ungodly? If you're not, he didn't die for you.
That's it. Amen.
If he died for the ungodly and you think you're pretty godly, then did he die for you?
That's it.
No. He said, I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And as Earl said, most churches, so-called churches, are nothing but where a bunch of people gather together to congratulate one another on how good they are. And that's not the church. That is apostasy. That is apostasy. Avoid it like the plague. It will damn your soul. Well, I might be one of the sheep. No, a stranger they will not follow. You follow a stranger, then you're not a sheep. Because the sheep don't know the voice of the stranger, and they refuse to follow the voice of the stranger. John said, he's that God hears us. And I'll tell you, anybody's a sheep, they're going to hear what I preach, like I'm preaching this morning, and they're going to say, that's the truth. Yeah. If they've been called individually, and they've been let out, Mason, they're going to say, that's the truth.
Yeah.
Even if they don't understand it all. They'll say, that's the truth. And they don't like this truth. They don't follow this truth. They don't follow this person. They will perish. They will perish. Christ died for the ungodly. Second, verse 8 of Romans 5, Christ died for sinners.
Yes, sir.
Now that's not two you can pick from. That's just two ways of describing the same state.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? He said, I died for the ungodly, I died for sinners. I could take my place there.
Yes, sir.
It ain't just so easily. I am there.
Yeah.
I cannot escape. That there.
That's it.
In verse 9 of Romans 5, ungodly sinners' justification is grounded, founded. The foundation of it is Christ's blood.
Amen.
Therefore now, being justified by His blood, not even by faith. I am justified in my own heart and conscience by God-given faith. I am justified before God by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the gospel. Ungodly sinners. And I can say that because He died for the ungodly sinners. Ungodly sinners' justification is grounded in Christ's blood. And then in chapter 5 and verse 10 and 11, Christ's blood justification secured reconciliation when He died on that tree and salvation. Now let's go back to John chapter 10 or John chapter 9 and let me show you that. He said, I'm going to call my sheep. Don't it? Because I know them.
Yes, sir.
I own them. They're mine. I'll call them by name. Christ heals this blind man. Did He not? I mean, He literally healed a blind man. Joe, he could now physically see.
Yes, sir.
And all it did was begin to cause this fella problems.
That's exactly right.
Now, didn't it?
Yes, sir.
It seemed like almost, not quite, but almost everybody then gathered up against Him. And He was just a blind beggar that all, not even of His own choice, not even of His own initiative, Christ just passed by, seen him blind, made clay, anointed, and said, now go and wash.
Yeah.
Where did that power come from? Where did that will to go and wash? You just spit on the ground and put it on my eyes?
Yep.
That had to be the dominating power of the Spirit of God Almighty in that man's soul. And when this happened, pardon my language, all hell broke loose for this man.
Yeah.
Even his parents turned on him.
Oh, yeah.
Did they not?
Yeah.
Verse 23, let's start there. I will be brief. I'm getting hungry too. Therefore said his parents, he's of age, ask him.
Yeah.
Now if you just read the first few points, you think, well, they didn't really know. How did this man healed? We don't really know. No, they were afraid of being put out of the synagogue.
Yeah.
That was their problem. Now bless God, it'd been good for them to put out because this man got put out and something better happened to him. Well, they wouldn't like me if they knew what I really believed down there. Then don't go.
There you go.
Why are you there?
Yeah.
Is it because you hear something else you like?
There you go.
That's exactly why it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Look. Therefore his parents said, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner.
Yeah.
They talk about Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Now they've already proved. The parents have said, yeah, that's our son. And yeah, he was born blind.
Yeah.
The neighbors knew it.
Yeah.
Mason, any reasonable court of law again would have said, something's happened here above the norm. Well, give God the praise. We know that this man's a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. He didn't know much, did he? But what one thing did he know?
Yeah.
I know this. I was blind.
Yeah.
Bless God. Now I see. And
Amen.
I can relate to that.
Amen. Exactly.
Whereas I was blind, now I see. Then they said unto him, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? You think of the idiocy of this. And yet, that's what men do in their natural state. Rebel against the clear evidence of a work of the sovereign God in the flesh.
You're right.
He answered them, I've told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Would ye also be his disciples? I think he's getting rid of fed up with them. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. Then the man answered. And notice how just the experience is livening senses within him that he didn't even know, and at one time he didn't have.
Exactly. Yeah.
The man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes. Somebody says, I don't understand that. You've got a problem.
Yeah,
I'm serious. I'm not being mean to you. You've got a problem if you can't relate to that. This blind beggar here,
yes,
now being interrogated by these religious people, family and friends, basically, neighbors and everybody around.
Yes, sir.
He goes on. Yet he opened my eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And did they say, well, how do you argue against that? How do you argue against that? You can't. All you can do is attack the messenger. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. I've been there.
Yes, sir.
And now I sit in this little pea squat building with a couple handfuls of folk.
Yep.
But you know what? It's all right.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Because those people out there, apart from this same gospel that Joe and I are declaring to you, and a few handfuls of other men here or there are declaring, everyone outside of that will perish.
Yeah.
They'll perish.
Yes.
Now look. And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. Don't you think he didn't know they were going to?
Yeah, you're right.
I thought, here's another message. But Christ left him there to go through this.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Right? Boy, Penny and I talked about this morning. I had plans this morning. God has said, I'm shutting them plans down. That's what he does. And God will crush your pride into a million pieces, but still yet every particle will reek with hatred to God's truth.
Yeah.
Every particle will. Now look, Jesus heard they'd cast him out, and when he had found him, when he had found him. You see that?
Yeah.
When he had found him. That's the glory.
Yes.
It wasn't up to this man to find Jesus. Jesus found him. He said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? The blind man answered, he said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him. Right back yonder. Just a few moments ago, I opened your eyes. And now, who do you think? Well, he went to the pool of Siloam and washed. But he says, I'm sorry, to strike that part. It is, and Jesus said to him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. He wanted to make sure. He knew. This blind man knew. It is me and nobody else.
Amen.
Because he hadn't seen him previously to this.
That's right.
Yeah. Mason, he could not see him previously
Amen.
To this. Could he?
No.
And he said, Lord, I believe. And a lot of people do. Oh, I believe what you believe. That's not enough.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. I thought that was enough. But wait a minute. We're talking about a certain kind of belief. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped. Now, if you worship something, you put it above everything else.
Yes.
That's where my believing is either of God or of my flesh.
Right.
That's where the rubber hits the road.
Yeah.
Do I really? That's the question I have to answer within myself, to myself, you know. I can't answer it for you. You can't answer it for me. Does the faith I think I have, does my faith, Joe, worship Christ? He worshiped, not that he'd been made to see.
Yeah.
He lived his whole life blind.
Yeah.
He could have went on with that blindness, Joe.
Oh, yeah.
But guess what? He got to worship the Lord of glory.
Yeah.
And that would be a glory even if he remained in a physically blinded state. Would it not? This was done just so it would show Christ would say, hey, I am the Messiah.
Amen.
I am the Messiah. Isn't that a glorious gospel?
Yes, sir.
You want something else? You might as well go have it.
There you go.
Another message satisfies you? Go right on. But it didn't satisfy God.
That's it.
Christ is the only one that's ever satisfied God.
Amen.
And he did it only for the sheep. And next week, we'll go on to this more. Them also I must bring, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. The sheep are secure by the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. What's that next phrase? I shall not want. It doesn't matter. Well, the shepherd gave me food. That's not the point. The Lord is my shepherd.
Right. Amen.
I shall not want. Whatever he gives me will be enough. If he lets me starve to death, he's my shepherd.
Exactly.
If he takes away everything I have, if he's my shepherd, I got no reason to want.
Exactly.
Is it? Isn't that a glory? Father, continue with us as we eat together. And Lord willing, by your grace, being able to fellowship together, I thank you for this glorious gospel, this glorious truth we have in your word through Jesus Christ. Amen.